holiness can transfigure your life, can make something glorious out of something ordinary.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about the pathway to holiness. The pathway to holiness. I'm afraid that some people may already have switched to another station, thinking, one thing I don't need to hear about is holiness. And even to those who perhaps have walked with God for a long time, it can be a scary word. I think there's a resistance to the word holiness just because we're so used to hearing that phrase, holier than thou, and the idea that holiness means perfection. Some of you may be thinking, well, that's a great subject for religious people, but that's not for me. Has holiness got any practical reality, any application to the farmer on his tractor or the librarian or the house painter? Well, I hope that you will listen carefully and realize that I'm not talking about anything that's not practical. If holiness is not practical, it's nothing. Some of you know about Brother Lawrence, a medieval monk who learned to serve God among the pots and pans of the kitchen. And he was a holy man. There was his sphere of service. And there he offered up his hard work in the kitchen amidst all the confusion and the people demanding this and that and the other thing and all the things that needed to be done, very humdrum, drudgery sort of work, the kind that has to be repeated over and over and over again, implacably day after day, the same old pots to be scrubbed and the same mouths to be filled. Brother Lawrence practiced the presence of God. That's the title of his little book, Practicing the Presence of God. And he did that in the kitchen of a monastery. Now, what have I been talking about? Womanhood, femininity, loneliness, mystery, courtesy, manliness, lovemaking, marriage, motherhood, fatherhood, doubt, fear, faith, discipline, aging, boredom. All of these things are under one heading, learning to walk with God. It is in the context of my womanhood, my femininity, my marriage, my motherhood, my grandmotherhood, that I am to learn to walk with God. It's in the things that arise every day to cause me doubt or fear that I must learn how to practice what it means to trust God. It's in the areas where I need discipline, and I find that I cannot do it by myself. Then the Lord says, "It is my will that you should be holy." All of these things come under the heading of learning to walk with God, or, to give you the two words that I probably use most often, trust and obedience. I think that's where the Christian life is at. Why are we here? Think about that question. Ask your next-door neighbor sometime, why are we here? Be interesting to see what they would say. What would you say if somebody asks you, what is our purpose here on earth? Why were we put here? Then, of course, the answer that a good Presbyterian would give would be from the Shorter Catechism, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I don't think I can improve on that, because to glorify God, one must be holy. The title of this program that you're listening to is Gateway to Joy. I'm not talking about anything mysterious or ethereal. I'm talking about our ordinary, everyday experiences becoming our gateway to joy. because I believe with all my heart that every experience, if offered to Jesus, can be a gateway to joy. We must learn to see in the humdrum of the ordinary the splendor of sacrifice, the possibility of becoming Christ-like. You who have to drive to work, commuters, I cannot imagine anything I would less rather do than have to drive maybe an hour or so to work every day, up and back, in the same traffic. It is just an appalling prospect to me, and I'm sure that there are some people right now in their cars driving to work who have to do this. Even in that context, you can become holy. The housewife, the mother, the grandmother, the Sunday school teacher, the Bible reader, the writer of Christian books. Well, what is the sphere in which God has put you? I had a letter just this last week from a woman who said, there is something about your coming alongside every weekday that has proven a great undergirding to all I believe. Your insight about offering everything, every experience to Jesus has almost been revolutionary, changing negative reactions to circumstances into positive. I do appreciate that letter so much. In fact, to be very honest with you, it made me cry. And I'm not one who cries very often at all, and I certainly don't cry easily, and practically never when I'm all by myself. Most of us have to have somebody to cry to. But I was sitting all by myself in my study when I read that letter, and tears came to my eyes. I just thought, Lord, imagine you giving me words to say that made this woman feel that I was coming alongside every weekday and providing an undergirding to what she believed, that the changes have been almost revolutionary. Now, the truth is, of course, those of you that have been listening to me know that I don't have any new gimmicks whatsoever. What I'm here to give you is the old-time gospel. No apologies. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now, holiness will transfigure your life. Do you know what the word transfigure means? It's a little different from transform. It means transform, but it means more than that. It means to change something mundane or ordinary into something glorious. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain before his disciples from the rabbi that they knew in the flesh and had walked with and had eaten and talked with to a glorious, shining, dazzling figure. God was revealing to them what was going to happen to Jesus through his suffering. And remember that when Moses and Elijah appeared with him on the mountain of transfiguration, the subject of their conversation was suffering. Holiness can transfigure your life, can make something glorious out of something ordinary. This life, today, where I live, where you live, in what I do, in what you do. Well, I thank God for that. I thanked God for that woman's willingness to hear, for her taking time to sit down and write me a letter. Because then I realized once again that I'm not talking into a vacuum. And it is difficult to sit in a studio alone and talk into a microphone. I can't see you out there. I don't know who you are or where you are. But when I get a letter like this, I say, thank you, Lord. You know where they are. You know what they need. You see them and you see me, you see my heart, you see their heart. And Lord, it's your word that I want you to speak to their hearts. That woman had ears to hear. Now, one thing that I want to tell you, holy does not mean, it does not mean religious. Religious is a very vague term. Feelings about God, doing things about God, but not necessarily having anything to do with the one God who was manifest in Jesus Christ And we may feel religious about that God and about Jesus Christ, and we may do religious things like going to church or saying our prayers without being holy. Holy does not mean perfect. Now that is very important for us to understand. In Thomas Merton's little book, Life and Holiness, he says, "It is perhaps advisable to speak of holiness rather than perfection. A holy person is one who is sanctified by the presence and action of God in him. He is holy because he lives deeply immersed in the life, the faith, and the charity of the Holy Church, that she manifests her sanctity in and through him. The idea of holiness seems to imply something of communion and solidarity in a holy people of God. The notion of spiritual perfection is appropriate rather to a philosopher." This is not the Christian idea of holiness. Holy people are not so heavenly that they're of no earthly use. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. We're going to be talking more about the pathway to holiness.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.